I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at waaf.com.
You know, I always say that a day in which you end up getting a free breakfast or a free lunch has been a successful day.
Yeah.
And I must thank our next guest, the governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, who walked in this morning and handed me a muffin. And by the way, it's warm.
It's appropriate for the moment, Greg.
What is that moment, Governor?
That moment is to congratulate you on signing the biggest contract in the history of media here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
I don't know why people insist that it must have been maybe I took less money to stay. Have you ever, has that thought ever crossed anybody's mind?
Nope. Never.
No, never. Well, listen, why don't you look at it?
We're all thrilled, let me tell you. As I speak for all of your fans across New England, this will be the biggest suck-up you get all day.
Yes.
We are all very excited that you're going to continue to be part of everybody's morning across New England.
Well, I am delighted that I am going to be. And if you think about, you're the governor, think about it from the tax perspective. I mean, I'll be throwing a lot.
In fact, we're going to create a special tax rate for AAF morning drive time, guys.
I like that.
You are. Yeah. All right. Well, Governor Baker is here. Where did this muffin come from, by the way?
I got it in the cafeteria downstairs.
Downstairs.
But did you hear? As soon as you said cafeteria, he was like, "Oh,
no!" It looks
very good. Calling the governor.
You didn't have it handmade in the car on the way over.
I was afraid to stop because I thought I'd be late.
We're glad you're here. So it's time for Breakfast with Baker, and of course, the governor made this campaign promise to us, and he's honored it. He's been here every single month. And he joins us in the studio to answer all your questions about the state, anything that's on your mind. So you can text on the WAAF Tech Needs text line, which is 97107. And you can certainly call 617-931-1AAF. And this is the first time we've seen you after the election. So a couple things. Marijuana. Did you expect that was going to go the way it went? I mean, overwhelming support for it here in the Commonwealth.
I don't know, 53-47 sounds to me like you're reasonably
closer.
Close vote,
okay.
But
yeah.
But look, I've been involved in a lot of ballot questions in my life. I've collected signatures for a lot of them. I'm a big believer in the process of direct democracy, and we're going to make sure we pursue and execute on the will of the people here. There are some issues and some lessons from Colorado that I think we need to just spend some time chewing on a little bit. And even in the Globe's editorial where they came out and supported the yes on 4 vote, they said they had some concerns with the way the question was written. The question is 6,000 words. And and I would imagine that we'll probably need to do a few things to it.
That's the kind of document you don't want to read when you're stoned.
Yeah.
Yes.
The printing is pretty small. But I think the bottom line is we're going to do what we need to do to make sure we protect public safety, learn from Colorado, and make sure we execute on the will of the voters here.
When do you think Maura Healey is looking for a little bit extra time on kind of the regulation that would be involved and all that? When do you expect that?
It's actually the treasurer's office.
Oh, treasurer, okay.
The way they set it up is as a the ballot question sets up a cannabis control commission similar to the Alcoholic Beverages Control Commission that currently sits in the treasurer's office. And there are a bunch of dates at which things become live. For example, I think on December 15th, you'll now be allowed to home grow in Massachusetts. In February, the governor's office appoints an advisory council. And I think in March or April, the people who are going to serve on that control commission need to be named. And then there's a whole bunch of other sort of target dates. And by the beginning of 18, we're supposed to have a regulatory framework in place to start selling at the retail level.
So with Rob first. Go ahead, Rob.
So being against question four, will you be able to appoint this the commission and or the council?
Well, I think we only appoint the
are they elected?
The advisory council. The treasurer appoints the people who serve on the control commission.
So like
no, they're not. They're just they're prescribed. Well, you know, they're supposed to be certain people who have certain expertise and certain characteristics. I mean, it's not like appoint 15 people to this. It's appoint a person who, you know, has this experience. Appoint a person who has this experience. Appoint a person who has this experience. It's very clear.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I was just going to ask. So someone like Mike Hsu, who's a very responsible father, very responsible citizen in Massachusetts, hardworking person. I know he voted yes on four.
You think?
Someone like Mike Hsu.
I bet he voted more than once.
Well, someone like Mike Hsu, which I would consider a valuable person to be a part of this, be considered for this council. Could someone like Mike Hsu put himself in the running?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Absolutely.
Danielle?
I have a question as it relates to gun owners, because I know there are a lot of those people that listen to this show and they voice a lot of concerns where, you know, marijuana is still illegal on the federal level.
Yeah.
Technically, gun owners are not supposed to be using it because of the federal issue. I know in Colorado, they're looking at perhaps amending the law when it comes to firearm owners with regard to legal recreational marijuana use. Do you know what kind of ramifications there are for gun owners in the state as it stands right now, or what the future look like for that?
The answer to that one is I don't. The conversation we've had with Colorado, that issue hasn't come up, but mm-hmm. obviously we'll bring it up with them and see what they say. The other thing that's going to be complicated, and the Globe actually wrote about this at one point, is college campuses. Because if you're a college and you have federal funding, and virtually all of them do, it's against federal rules and federal law to permit people to engage in recreational use of marijuana on campus. And that's going to create some really significant challenges, I think, for colleges.
Speaking of college,
the intersection between federal law and state law and all of this is going to be messy.
It's going to be a lot. Yeah. It's going
to
seem like
that's one
it's
of the things we've been talking to Colorado about.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of college campuses, would you agree with the head of the Massachusetts Teachers Association that we need a statewide safe space day on November 22nd?
I think it's important that kids go to school, and I think it's important that kids understand that elections are contests, and that once the elections are over, it's important for people to try to find ways to unify around the results. I mean, I got 49% of the vote when I ran for governor and won. And I got 42%, and Governor Patrick got 48% when he defeated me in 2010. So both of us got less than 50% of the vote. The day after my election in 2014, I went to Springfield and spent the day in Springfield. And the reason I did that was the mayor of Springfield supported Attorney General Martha Coakley, and the city of Springfield voted overwhelmingly for the Attorney General. And I wanted to send a message that my belief was I was now the governor, going to be the governor of 100% of the people in Massachusetts. And I wanted folks to understand that that meant reaching out to and talking to and creating bridges with people who didn't support me. I'm fine with people protesting. There have been a couple of protests and marches here in Massachusetts that were peaceful. They were enthusiastic, but they were peaceful. We had our folks there to make sure, the state police working with local police to make sure that everybody was safe, which is sort of our paramount concern when that kind of stuff happens. But I think we should all remember that on the seal of the United States, there's a Latin phrase called E Pluribus Unum, which stands for out of many, one. And the idea there started with there were many states, one United States of America. But over time, it basically became this notion that there's a lot of people with a lot of points of view in this country. We have 350 million people. But we are all Americans first. And I think it's really important that that be the message that people deliver wherever they are, especially adults to kids.
Do you think the president-elect has done enough post-election or needs to do more to send that message to those who didn't vote for him.
I actually have been pretty impressed with both President-elect Trump's comments, President Obama's comments, and Secretary Clinton's comments. They all basically said the same thing, which is very hotly contested election, but now it's time to sort of move on and move forward and prepare for the transition of government. And I thought Secretary Clinton's speech the morning after the election was incredibly gracious about that. And I thought President Obama's comments were. And I saw Donald Trump, President-elect Trump, on 60 Minutes basically say that he wants to be a unifier and move the country forward and focus on the jobs and some of the other stuff and infrastructure that he talked about during the campaign.
Governor Baker is here.
But I get the fact that there was a lot of incredibly heated rhetoric during the course of that campaign.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to take a little while for a lot of people to move on from that. But I think, look, it's important that we do that.
Speaking of elections, there's some talk that John Kerry may run for governor. How do you think you would fare? Should you run again against John Kerry as a candidate for governor here in the Commonwealth?
You know, the it's amazing to me that less than 48 hours, maybe a week after the election from 2016 ends, everybody starts talking about 2018. I'm really focused at this point, to tell you the truth, on putting together a budget for January, putting together a state of the state for January, and working our way through the budget and some of the policy initiatives associated with what we secured from the legislature at the end of this past legislative session. I'm not really particularly focused at this point on 2018.
You must be very happy with the way this Mass Pike project has gone.
You know, I am very happy about a couple things. One is that this is a good example of sort of thinking differently about this stuff. Because when this whole thing was originally proposed to us, people were basically going to do the work during the day, traditional approach to construction, all the rest, and it was going to take a really long time. And a bunch of us looked at each other and said, this is going to create havoc on the turnpike. And we said, why don't you guys do this starting on a long weekend, 10 o'clock at night on a Friday, blow all the way through the long weekend, all the way through to Monday, the end of Monday, and then work nights and weekends on this
and do it that way.
Yeah.
So, but we said that, and people said, well, you can't do that because it's too expensive to do it that way. And we all kind of looked at each other and said, you know how much it's going to cost the people of Massachusetts and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to do this the traditional way? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And by the way, because we chose to do it the way we did it, which was nights and weekends, it's more expensive to do it that way. But guess what? You don't have to do a lot of the traffic mitigation when you do it on nights and weekends.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's actually getting done a lot faster. And even though it costs more to do it a night and weekend per hour, the actual total price of the project is probably going to be the same or less. And without all the disruption that would have been there before.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's amazing. A texter would like to know, and you can text the governor on the WAF Tech Needs text line, which is 97107. A texter wants to know if now that the toll booths are down, any chance that the speed limit would go up to 75 or something along those lines.
Really?
That's
the mass holes right
going,
there.
They
yeah.
want people going faster.
We want more.
Well, the good news is, you're not going to have to slow down anymore. And I'm not sure about this, but I think a lot of the rules around speed limits are driven as much by federal policy as they are by state policy. But that's a question that would be worth looking into, and we will do that.
You'll look into that. Yeah. I think it used to be you wouldn't get federal highway funding if you were over 55.
If you're above or below. I can't remember. I should be smarter than this. I'm not. I can't remember if it was a floor or a ceiling. I think it might have been a floor.
I think you had to go over a certain amount. No, really?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I should stop right now.
The only thing I know about is sauce, since I'm the czar of sauce here in Massachusetts. That's the only thing I know about.
I'm glad we have a czar of sauce.
Let me ask. I'm going to play, speaking of our incoming president, I'm going to play a quick question and answer from 60 Minutes and get your thoughts on this.
What about the pledge to deport millions and millions of undocumented immigrants?
What we are going to do is get the people that are criminal and have criminal records, gang members, drug dealers, we have a lot of these people, probably 2 million, it could even be 3 million. We're getting them out of our country or we're going to incarcerate. But we're getting them out of our country. They're here illegally. After the border is secured and after everything gets normalized, we're going to make a determination on the people that you're talking about who are terrific people. They're terrific people. But we're going to make a determination at that. But before we make that determination, it's very important. We want to secure our border.
A lot of talk afterwards, whether it's the mayor talking about Boston or sanctuary cities. Where do you, would you cooperate with the president on this? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, we currently, I mean, we changed the state's own policy with respect to the state police to collaborate with the federal government around dangerous persons, you know, the kind of folks that that President-elect Trump was talking about. So that if our state police picked somebody up and had them in custody, and they had a track record that involved, you know, terrorism, murder, serious crimes, that we would notify the feds to determine if in fact they were here illegally. And that was,
and you changed that when you came in to office.
We changed it about a year ago.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody agrees that people who are here who are dangerous, we should do something about. And I think frankly his decision to focus on those folks early is the right place to go. I would never support a statewide sanctuary law of any kind, because as a former local official, I think you got to give folks at the local level some flexibility to think about how they want to manage these issues on their own terms. And my hope and my expectation is that however people choose to deal with this issue at the local level, we can all agree that dangerous, violent people in our communities who are not citizens are people that we should find a way to remove.
The governor is here. It's Breakfast with Baker. It's 7:37. After the election, your thoughts on the charter school question, and I know you fought hard for that, and unfortunately, when it comes to your opinion, didn't pass. What do you think about that?
That's an incredibly tactfully worded question, Greg.
I know it was important to you. So,
I spent too much time talking to too many parents about this to not get involved in it. I'll tell you something. I was down at Gillette for the Patriots game on Sunday. It was my 60th birthday. And
so you're the jinx. Please don't go to any other games.
How dare you?
Maybe it was me. although I got to tell you, if you had to pick one game in which you would get stopped at the 2-yard line, I would rather have it be that game than the one 2 years ago in the
Super
Bowl.
Yes, in the Super Bowl. By the way, I have to ask this because you know me. Did you stay for the whole entire game?
I had a very busy day on Monday.
Okay, all right, so you left a little bit
early. I left a little early.
Yeah.
We were listening in the car on the way home.
Yeah.
I still have yet to see Gronkowski's catch on the that got us to the 2-yard line, which sounds like it was just classic Gronk.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that the throw from Brady was classic Brady as well, just kind of the drop shot in. So we're in a bar. Waiting for the game to start. We're walking into a bar, and this guy waves and says, "Hey, Governor Baker, how are you?" And then he sort of just said, "Hey, kids, that's Governor Baker." And I waved back to him, and I went into the bar, and we were just having a beer before we went into the game with some friends. And like 15 minutes later, all of a sudden, this guy just pops up, and he's standing in front of me. And I said, "Hi," and I'm thinking,
What's coming next?
What did I do wrong? You know?
What am I going to hear about?
And he says, "Look, I just want you to know that I grew up in South Boston. I didn't finish high school. I found my way. I made my life. It worked out okay one way or the other. But for my kids, the charter school that I got my kids into changed their lives. And in fact, he said, one of my kids currently going to Holy Cross on an academic scholarship, and if it weren't for the charter school, he would just not have done well in school, and I would never have been able to afford to send him to a place like Holy Cross. And I heard those stories all the time, and that had a lot to do with what moved me on this. But let's face it, the voters made the call on this one, and we need to come up with some approaches to dealing with some of the schools that are troubled in Massachusetts in other ways. And there are some experiments that people are doing and some demonstrations. There's a demonstration in Springfield where they've created what they call opportunity zone schools, which are mostly middle schools, but have some flexibility with respect to rules and staffing and all the rest that have turned out to be pretty effective. And there's some other schools. Jeff Riley up in Lawrence has done some really interesting things within the framework of the existing school system in terms of lengthening the school day and some other stuff. And I think we're just going to have to, for those nine communities where the cap is in place, okay, and remember, it's nine. Yeah. Out of 351, we're talking about nine communities. We're just going to have to pursue some alternative approaches and see if we can't make this happen. Because it's not the big message in all this, and everybody should remember this, Massachusetts statewide has among the very best elementary schools, secondary schools, high schools in the country, period, okay? We finished first on all the national assessment exams, and we're the only state that's ever finished first in math and English, and we've done it six times in a row. But for that small number of communities and small number of schools that have had trouble and problems, we need to be more creative, obviously, about finding ways to help them and those kids succeed.
1 week from today, it's Thanksgiving. Do you guys host?
We are going to host.
You're hosting?
You know, one of the things that happens as you get older, Greg, and I'm sure you'll appreciate this, is everybody gets out of their house. Okay.
Yes,
so
yes.
The only member of my family who still has a house happens to be my wife and me. So, so it would be hard for anybody else to host.
Yes.
So we will be hosting Thanksgiving at our house.
And do you have a particular food tradition? Do you guys do the green beans?
You know, we do something really unique and unusual and different. We have a turkey. House.
What, yes. Do you grill it, fry it, bake it? What's the roast or
it's a long cooker in the oven
for
like 4 days beforehand. And
green bean casserole or no?
There'll probably be a little bit of that. Mashed potatoes. The part I care about the most. Pies.
I was going to ask you. And
I'm
are you a pumpkin
pies.
Are you a pumpkin pie guy?
No,
or
I'm
apple?
I'm an apple pie.
You're
guy.
An apple pie yeah. guy. Of course you are,
yeah.
America.
Yeah, exactly.
Apple pie.
But
yeah.
But
yeah.
I think I think in some respects my kids don't live. I don't see my kids much anymore because they're older now. And one of them lives in Washington. One of them goes to school in Ohio. The other one lives in South Boston. But he
doesn't hang around with his dad
somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So for us, having our kids home is going to be a particularly important part of the day.
Good. Well, happy Thanksgiving to
and
you.
Same to all of you and your listeners and your audience.
Yeah, and it's been a good year here, right? What would you give thanks for? Thanks for one thing, as far as your job goes in the Commonwealth.
As far as my job goes?
Yeah.
I have a really good team. I mean, if I had to pick one thing. I mean, the Tom Timlin, all right? Shout out to Tom Timlin. He's the guy who did the work on the Turnpike project.
Yeah,
okay?
We had him on. He's
yeah,
awesome.
We had him on the show. Great
guy.
Deserves great
guy.
We just have a lot of really talented people who are doing a lot of really talented work.
Good. All right. Well, we'll see you one more time.
But the thing I really give thanks for?
Yes?
My dad, my wife, my kids.
Good for you.
Family. That's the best. Yeah, that's
a tissue.
I know. I agree. I agree. That's the best thing.
Yeah.
When the kids come home from college, it's the best part. All right.
And I give thanks for having a governor that gets it. You're awesome.
Thank you, LB.
Thank you for the muffin.
Again, I promise I won't go to any more Patriots games.
Until we get to the big
one. Can you not go to the Thanksgiving game either? I don't want you to jinx that.
I've gone to both my kids, both our boys played for Swampscott, so Thanksgiving football was always a big tradition. Whether or not we go this year is going to depend on some calendar stuff, which... You know, they changed all the scheduling on this, so that the season basically
the season's over. I don't like it.
Before you get here, the Thanksgiving game
is
kind of... I mean, when Charlie and AJ were playing, I mean, like, for like 5 years in a row, the Marblehead Swampscott game was to determine who the champion of the league was.
I know.
That was a big deal.
Yeah.
It's lost some of its significance.
Well, it's kind of, you know, Brees' team got bumped out last week, so it become, first of all, there's no game this week, and then
which is also
and
a little weird.
And then they end up, you know, those games are somewhat meaningless. But they wanted to have from a gate perspective, be able to have the potential for a couple. You know, you got your Thanksgiving rivalry, and then perhaps another game where you can make some money. I guess so. All right, Governor, great to see you. Thank you very much.
See you guys too.
All right, we'll be right
back. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.